Nicaragua was really neat. We walked from the central part of the town where everybody was meeting over to a little covered patio area. And these kids, there was like 40 of them, stood from tallest to youngest in four rows for the entire hour that I was teaching them. And their favorite song was, the house built on the sand. And they love that song. And they didn't care that I can't sing. Kathleen dealt with the practical day-to-day living in peace. And I have the responsibility to bring you another aspect of peace. And this is our inner peace, that quality that we should have inside of us. And I'd actually been thinking about this quite a ways before I was asked to speak, probably for the last year. It's been on my mind, talking to a woman we were doing Bible studies with, and I was trying to explain to her that inner peace that I felt as soon as I was baptized. And I couldn't explain it to her, and it kind of bothered me that I just said, well, you'll see when it happens. You'll just see. And then Don Humphrey had put together, he had a practically lifelong dream to put together a video, and it's called The Missing Piece. If you notice, it's peace that we have in Christ, but yet they have the little missing puzzle piece. And everybody that was interviewed, which are members of the church, they were talking about how before they were Christians, that something was missing. And they all said, I found that missing piece, which is how he got his title. And it's a great little introduction video if somebody wants to, if you want to get them interested enough that they want to study about God. And then I know this congregation has quite a few of the CDs, Searching for Truth, which is actual Bible lessons. So if somebody wants to study and you don't have time or you're too afraid you don't know it, sit down and watch it with them if you want, or at least hand it to them and have them watch it on the DVD. And I thought this piece would be such an easy subject. I've been studying it. I've been looking at it. And, it is and it's not. Every reference that I tried finding to explain some of these verses or discuss the word peace, they said, oh, we can't explain it, including Wayne Jackson. He's my ultimate source for word etymology. And in his Bible Words Made Easy, he was referring to an obedient Christian, and he even states that he has an inner peace that is inexplicable from the human vantage point. I could not believe that how many could not explain it. But I don't have to explain it all to you. I just have to kind of give you the thought and the basic concept of the idea that we could take and apply to our lives. Yesterday I was sitting at the stoplight with the car full of groceries, and I realized, there was a couple policemen to the side, and all of a sudden they pulled in front, and I realized it was a funeral procession. It was quite long. It must have been 50 cars long. We missed the entire cycle of the light and then half of the other cycle. And these people were going to lay to rest their loved one. We think of resting in peace at a cemetery. There are markers that, say, rest in peace. We want our loved ones to rest in peace. When that day comes, we want to rest in peace with God. But do you know, ladies, as Christians, we can rest in peace in the here and the now. We don't have to wait until we're dead. And that's because we should have that inner peace, that contentment now. But do you know, now there are feelings of broken or destroyed relationships, of loss, of unhappiness, loneliness, irritations, agitations, anxieties, addictions, despair, and they hit us hard. They chip away and attack what inner peace we thought we had. So what exactly is inner peace, and how do we get it, and how do we keep it? Psalms 43:5 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. So we already said we can't exactly define inner peace, but a worldly definition, what we usually think of is a state of being mentally or spiritually at peace, with enough knowledge and understanding to keep oneself strong in the face of stress. But the Greeks in secular writings, the philosopher and poets, when they talked about peace, it always meant no war. It had nothing to do with tranquility and calmness and contentment. It had to do with a lack of war. The Greek word is irene, if anybody cares. No war. It was a contractual agreement to not fight. That was what peace was. You always had that threat of war that was connected with it. It never went away. War was present always. If you talked about a ruler who had brought peace to a town, it was usually by means of fighting somewhere, usually a little bit further or on the outskirts of the town, so that the town itself could grow their crops, they could trade, they could raise children, they could have public order. That was peace. Nothing to do with inner peace. They used words like tranquility and contentment for that, not the word peace. Hebrews uses the word shalom, which is found about 280 times just in the Old Testament, by the way. And there are many, many scriptures that describe in just that it is a peacetime, no war. Such as in 2 Kings 9:19, then Joram sent out a second horseman who came to them and said, thus the king has said, is it peace? But shalom included a spiritual meaning as well. We could see that in Psalms 4:8. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. So the term shalom expresses be well, complete, safe, and sound. Now remember that complete was used for a spiritual wholeness, kind of a perfection or as close as perfection that we can come to. And we can even see this in Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So shalom expresses a blessing from God. And nothing better than this could be wished for anyone. That's what you wanted them to have, was shalom. There is no peace for the wicked, says the Lord in Isaiah 48:22. Peace can only be had if you are in conformity with God's will. So peace became the fruit of trusting and loving relations with God. You can see that in Isaiah 32:17 as well. And the work of righteousness will be peace, and the service of righteousness, quietness, and confidence forever. So in the Old Testament, peace became synonymous with salvation and victory, not just but physical, but spiritual. So we can see how peace is emphasizing a reconciliation of humans with God on a spiritual level. So who cares? What does this mean for us? We just need to think about this for a minute. To have inner peace, it means that we are not going to be at war with God or with ourselves. We are to be content. We are to be not happy all the time, because that doesn't even make sense. You cannot physically, emotionally be happy when bad things happen. You can still have a contentment, a certainty that Christ will see you through. So contentment and happiness are not necessarily the same. But we are to be content with what we have while striving to improve ourselves spiritually. So now this morning, I want us to look inside of ourselves and ask, why am I missing this peace? Or why is it not as strong as when I was first baptized? Proverbs 14:30 says that a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. And doctors recognize that there are emotions that can actually make us sick. These include guilt, resentment, fear, anxiety, frustration, indecision, doubt, jealousy, selfishness, and boredom. So I don't want any of you telling me I bored you so much I made you sick. Our own emotions, besides making us physically ill, attack our inner peace. But these emotions are choices that we have made. Are we allowing our emotions to rule us, rather than us ruling our emotions? Remember, we are to have control over our body. Perhaps we've felt this missed opportunity. We wanted to speak to that lady at the store so bad, we could tell she needed God in her life. And we got as far as smiling at her, maybe even saying hi. And then we just didn't know what to say. Maybe we were too scared. Maybe we just ran out of time. You start feeling inadequate. Why didn't I do this? Did I need to study more? Oh, I should have known the words. You start feeling guilty that you missed that opportunity that God gave you. You lose peace. Inadequacy, guilt, you lose your peace. Is it wrong to feel inadequate? Or is it even wrong to feel guilty? Not really. If we don't feel inadequate, we're not going to try harder to study so that we know what to say the next time. Do we need to have it dwell in us so much that it tears us apart? No, we need to stop. We need to make the choice to stop and do something about it instead of letting it make us sick. The same with being guilty. That should make us aware of what sin we have committed in our life so we can change it. I'm not up to teaching should move us closer to studying harder, closer to God. This will give us greater confidence to approach that next woman. You know, remember in Psalm 73 that man without God is going to fail 100% of the time. So for peace, we need to have a content heart, a loving heart, an honest heart. Those are found in Philippians 4:11, 1 Corinthians 13:4, and Romans 13:13. We need to be content and at peace. We need to focus on what we have. Now in our ladies' class, before Christmas actually, one of our ladies made a gratitude journal. And this is a really nice thing. And what was so interesting was I had just read a newspaper article before she had given it to us about the psychologist who was studying businessmen, and then she went on to study high school students in various groups of these people who were kind of depressed and not happy, and you know, rate them and do this. And she had them start keeping a gratitude journal of the blessings that they had in their life. And they all improved significantly. Some got out of their depression. So it is a very useful tool. And she just did a little simple thing. I just really like this, the page with a little sticker. And what I've been trying to do is write something that her stickers have reminded me about. You know, to kind of tie it in, to have me help focus me on what I need to be thankful for. But you don't need to have something this fancy. As long as you at least think of what to be grateful for every day. A gratitude journal is not a little magic wand. It's not going to help us turn our life completely around. But it helps us to focus on gifts that we've been given. To focus on talents that we have. To focus on the people in our lives. And the opportunities that are presented to us. And this awareness of thankfulness could also increase our faith in God. Because maybe it's a lack of faith that is really keeping us from having inner peace. We've been using a book for, we've actually been using it for the young ladies class, although we've taken a little break now. But it's not strictly for a ladies class, but it's called Dear Lisa, and it's Combating Religious Doubt. And the author, this preacher, was writing letters back and forth to Lisa, and his letters to her are in the book. And one of the things that he says to her is that many Christians really don't know what Christianity teaches, which leads to doubt of ourselves. Can we do this? Can we approach somebody? Leads to doubt of God. Because after all, we don't know exactly who God is because we haven't bothered trying to learn, which of course is going to lead to no inner peace. So we can't let a lack of knowledge be our downfall. I think it's good to be reminded how great God is. And I want us to remember right now some things about this world that God has created for us. The sun is a gigantic continuous hydrogen bomb that converts 8 million tons of matter into energy every single second. 8 million tons. It gives off more energy in a single second than mankind has been estimated to produce since the creation every second. The sun is one star. The Milky Way is our galaxy and is 100,000 light years across, or 587 quadrillion miles. And some of us thought we had to drive far today, right? Scientists have estimated that there are 25 to the 21st power galaxies, which would be 1 billion galaxies. And I say estimated because every time they build a stronger telescope that can see further, they see more stuff. Same thing goes with microscopes. Every time they build a microscope and they can see more detail, they find more things. So scientists say that there are 10 to the 28th atoms in us. And at the last hour, 1 trillion atoms have been replaced within each one of our bodies. A trillion atoms in the last hour, a trillion. And did you know that there would be a billion miles worth of DNA if one person's DNA were stretched out? A billion miles. Then scientists also say, oh, there's only a 4 to 5% difference between apes and man. Do you know a 4 to 5% difference in DNA equals 200 million differences between apes and man? 200 million. And we're not talking about just eye color. Psalm 139:14 says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God is above nature, but it's evidence of his power. We need to look at nature. Look at this evidence that we have before us every day and remember God's power and his love for us. So is a loss of faith attacking our peace? In true faith, it's not just believing in God. Obedience to God and a trust in God that he will do what he says he will do. That is true faith. And this trust is so complete that we can't give ourselves over to God. This trust is so complete that we can give ourselves over to God and let him rule our lives. Kathleen mentioned Acts 17:27-28. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. We have to remember that God loves us. He's done many things for us. He is powerful. He is awesome. And with such an awesome God, we can put our trust in him. Do you remember that feeling of coming up out of the water of the baptistry? Clean, pure, no weight of sin holding you down. That inner peace that filled you. Galatians 5:22-24 states that the fruit of the Spirit includes peace, which we have when we belong to Christ. That purity doesn't last long because there is so much sin around us in this world. It attacks us, and pretty soon we are falling into that trap of sin once more. I always think of that term, garbage in, garbage out. We can't help but see it. We can't walk through life with our eyes closed. But the beauty of Christ's blood, of his sacrifice for us, is that we can be made pure again. As long as we truly repent, we ask for forgiveness, and we do our best not to fall into that trap again. So perhaps sin is that reason why we no longer have inner peace. You know, sometimes it's not even actually our sin that's attacked our inner peace. Sometimes it's not what we've committed. It's what somebody else has done. It's the consequences of someone else's sin. And we're having to deal with it, and it's ripping us up inside. Life can deal us many different situations that pull apart our inner peace. From losing a spouse, just driving somewhere and getting lost, that feeling, that fear, being raped, having money problems, just suddenly having an empty nest and not quite sure what you're supposed to do now since you're not quite old enough to retire. All of these things, and many, many others besides, are worldly things that sometimes they're not even our sin or even a real sin. We've had to change our purpose, change our focus, try to deal with somebody else's problems. You know, Christ tells us in John 16:33, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Do we stop and think about that? Christ overcame the world. We are in Christ. We can overcome the world also. We can get through this. Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ. Do you know, early in his ministry, Christ sent out the 12. And while he was giving them the instructions and the teachings in Matthew 10, he told them, you know, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. It's like, now, wait a second. Is that a contradiction? No, it's not. First of all, look at the content, the context, everything that's going around. Christ came to bring us his peace and peace with God, reconciliation with God. That puts us immediately at war with the world. That's why we need that armor of God. We are following Christ, which will lead us into battle with the world against Satan. You know, sometimes that world is our own family. You know, before Christ died, he told the apostles, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We can trust in Christ. He's giving us his peace. And it's not just a wish for God's blessing. It's Christ's gift, and it shows us his power. So this kind of answers some of our questions about what peace is. But we need to ask ourselves, why? Have I lost my faith and my trust in God? Have I become so disillusioned that I have forgotten what Christ has done for me? Have I declared war on God rather than declaring war on the world and on Satan? You know, always the goal is to not have war with God, to be right with God, to have peace with God, and thereby we have peace within ourselves. It's to rest in peace in the here and now before death. And remember, we can only have peace with God through Christ, Romans 5:1. And Colossians 1:20 says that through him, that is Christ, all is reconciled to God, making peace by the blood of his cross. With our belief and confession in God and Christ as the Son of God and our Savior, Hebrews 11:6, Romans 10:10, we should determine to repent of our sins and change our lives as God has commanded, Acts 17:30. We are now to live for God rather than against God. And we must be in Christ, which is the only place our peace is found, Ephesians 1 and 3. And to be in Christ, we must be baptized for the remission of our sins, Mark 16:15 and 16. So to have peace with Christ, to have his peace, to be at peace, to be right with God, that means we are at war with the world. So peace is still connected with war. Maybe now we can understand what Christ meant when he said he didn't come to bring peace, and yet he is leaving us in peace as his peace. We can have that security that only God can give us. We can rest in peace today. I hope that something I have said has struck a chord with us. And we're going to stand in just a second for our invitation song, Faith is the Victory. And I want you to really think about those words. I really believe that our inner peace is disrupted by choices we make ourselves. And it boils down, I think, to three things. A lack of knowledge, sin, and a lack of faith in God. So if we can look within ourselves, if we can see if maybe our inner peace isn't as strong, where are we erring in the scope of our lives? Are we actually committing sin? Perhaps something's not quite right, but we don't know exactly. Maybe it's our lack of knowledge. Or maybe we haven't stopped to think of all that God has done for us, for all that Christ has done for us, and to think how awesome that magnificent that God really is, and that everything he has said he was going to do, he has done for us. And we can have perfect trust in that and rely on him. But maybe we're still relying on ourselves too much. Thank you.